Blog Talk Radio.
Might as well put your hands together.
Praise you, the Lord. Yes, you are now once again in tune to, are you a liability or an asset to the Kingdom of God Internet Radio Show? I am your host, Brother James Brown Jr., coming to you live from Harper Woods, Michigan. We come to you live each and every Thursday and every Saturday night from 8 o'clock until 9 o'clock p.m. So I'm asking all listeners on tonight, as I always do, especially for those that faithfully tunes in, and then we have so many new listeners on the line tonight, and I thank God and I give God the glory, honor, and praise for each one of you new listeners. So please get your Bibles, get your pens and paper ready, so that you can follow along with my special guest on tonight, none other than Deacon Edward Blakely. He is the Sunday School Superintendent of the Morning Star Baptist Church, where Pastor Isaiah Tillman Jr. is the pastor. So Deacon Blakely will be bringing forth God's word on tonight, so you're most definitely going to need your Bible, pen, and paper, so you can take notes as we go through God's word together on tonight. We always open up with prayer, so I'm asking all listeners if you would please pray with me, because we serve an awesome God who can hear and answer all of our prayers at the same time. What a mighty, awesome God we serve. Heavenly Father, it's in the name of Jesus we come once again on tonight, giving you glory, honor, and praise for who you are. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for allowing us to wake up and see this, a brand new day that you have made. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for every angel that you are watching over your people, over your children. You are awesome God. You are faithful God. You're standing, you're still watching over your works, performing in the lives of your people, that you will get the glory through each one of our lives. So we give you glory, honor, and praise in the name of Jesus. Heavenly Father, we come asking that you will forgive us of all of our sins and transgressions. Your word lets us know that all have sinned and come short of your glory. So I ask that you would start with me, Heavenly Father. Forgive me of all of my sins and transgressions in the name of Jesus. Also, my guest, Deacon Blakely, and his entire family, my entire family, and every saved believer, Heavenly Father, forgive us of all of our sins and our transgressions in the name of Jesus, so that we can continue to walk in and live in and fulfill our God's purpose in the earth for your glory is our prayer in the name of Jesus. We come now, Heavenly Father, asking that you are moved by your Spirit through your man of God. As your word goes forth, Heavenly Father, use him through your Holy Spirit. Should there be any listeners on the line tonight, Heavenly Father, that's not saved in Jesus' name, it's our prayer, our hope and desire that something will be said through your word that will touch their hearts and their minds to the point that they will open their own mouth, confess their sins, and they will ask Jesus Christ to come into their hearts and save them even on tonight. And you will be glorified as our prayer in the name of Jesus. Heavenly Father, we lift up all those that are bereaved on tonight all over the land. Touch, heal, and strengthen them, comfort them as only you can. Let them know and remember that earth still has no sorrow that heaven cannot heal in the name of Jesus. We also lift up all those that are sick and afflicted. Touch, heal, and deliver as only you can, because we do know that you're still working miracles, signs, and wonders in the earth through your people, Heavenly Father, that they will have a testimony letting the world know that it was you who have healed them, that you will be glorified. It's our prayer in Jesus' name. Heavenly Father, we lift up our incoming president and our vice president and the cabinet that they have selected to work with them, Heavenly Father. It's our prayer that you will guide them, that they will be on one accord, Heavenly Father, and that you will lead and guide them through your Holy Spirit, Heavenly Father, that they will be able to be a blessing to the world, and not only to the world, but to America, and to be a blessing to your people, Heavenly Father, as they adhere to your Holy Spirit, and as they are being led and guided by you, that you will get the glory through them, is our prayer in the name of Jesus. So we pray that you will help us to decrease on tonight, so that you may increase in us, that you will get the glory. Continue to bless every listener that faithfully tunes in to this worldwide platform and ministry, even to the new listeners on tonight. Continue to bless them and grant them all the desires of their hearts is our prayer. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Well, we always have a spiritual food for thought. And tonight's spiritual food for thought comes to us saying, and it's the word of God that tells us, watch as well as pray. Once again, tonight's spiritual food for thought comes to us saying, watch as well as pray. Before I bring forth Deacon Blakely, again, he's going to be bringing forth God's word on tonight. I have an announcement that I'd like to share with the listeners, two announcements, really. I'd like to make this announcement on behalf of Minister Tawan Eppinger. He is a young minister that's a member of the Morningstar Baptist Church also, where Pastor Isaiah Tillman Jr. is the pastor, and where I serve as the musician there. Minister Tawan Eppinger comes over this worldwide platform every first Thursday night, delivering God's word. He is an awesome young man of God. God is truly using him. He has blessed this young man. So I want you all to make a note so you can tune in every first Thursday night at 8 o'clock and hear what God is saying through this awesome young man. Also, on the 23rd of this month, I have an author from Alabama. Her name is Keisha Stevenson. She has written a series of books titled From Conviction to Correction, Behind the Walls. While she was serving time in prison, God blessed her to write a series of books. So she's going to be my special guest on January the 23rd. Again, her name is Keisha Stevenson. She's from Alabama. She will be blessing the worldwide listeners with her testimony, and then she's going to share some of her experiences while the Lord used her while she was incarcerated behind prison bars to be able to write these books. That's going to be a blessing to the worldwide listeners. So I'm excited to hear what God is going to say through her as she share her testimony, and then she's going to go into what God has blessed her to write in these books on the 23rd of January. So you want to mark that on your calendar so you don't miss out, so you want to be blessed by her on the 23rd. But if I can get my music to go right on tonight, we're going to go to our music break real quick. Then we're going to come back, and we're going to yield the mic to Deacon Edward Blakely. Once again, he is the superintendent of the Sunday School at the Morningstar Missionary Baptist Church, where Pastor Isaiah Tillman Jr. is the pastor. Enjoy the music break. It's not going to let me play it, but that's all right. We're not going to worry about that. We're going to get ready to go forward because we know sometimes the enemy, I wanted to play a song that I knew was going to be a blessing to the listeners on tonight. But anyway, we're going to keep on moving forward because we're going to get ready to bring forth Deacon Edward Blakely to you all. And again, once again, I pray that you have your Bibles, your pens and paper ready so that you can follow along with Deacon Edward Blakely. Deacon Blakely, I'll now yield the mic to you.
Amen. Father God, my heart is so full of thankfulness, Father God, as I approach your throne tonight. I thank you for giving us the privilege of prayer, of communicating with you through prayer, Father God. Father God, your word says prayer of a righteous man will avail much. And my title to my theme tonight is Call to Heal. And Jesus is teaching a really very good lesson. There's a lot mixed in it. There's a lot. This thing is really rich. But my key verse in this lesson is verse 9 of Mark 2, starting at verse 1. But we're going to read down from verse 1 and all the way through to verse 12. But my key is verse 9. Is it easier to say to a paralyzed man, your sins are forgiven, or stand up, pick up your mat, and walk? Jesus is teaching. Let's start it at verse 1. When Jesus returned to Capernaum several days later, the news spread quickly that he was back home. Soon the house where he was staying was so packed with visitors that there was no room. Even outside the door, there was no room. While he was preaching God's word, four men arrived carrying a paralyzed man still on his mat. They were carrying him. They couldn't bring him to Jesus because of the crowd. So they dug a hole through the roof above his head. That's above Jesus' head. Then they lowered the man, still on his mat, lowered him right down in front of Jesus. And Jesus, seeing their faith, Jesus said to the paralyzed man, my child, your sins are forgiven. But some of the teachers sitting around, these were the teachers of the religious right, so to speak. They were the scribes and the Pharisees. They were sitting around and they started to thinking, what is he saying? This is blasphemy. Only God can forgive sins. Jesus knew immediately what they were thinking, so he asked them, why do you question this in your hearts? Is it easier to say to a paralyzed man, your sins are forgiven, or stand up and pick up your mat and walk? Then Jesus told them, I will prove to you that the Son of Man has the authority. I want you to remember that word. He has the authority on earth to forgive sin. Then Jesus turned to the paralyzed man and said, stand up, pick up your bed, and go home. And the man jumped up, grabbed his bed, and walked out through the stunned, onlooking crowd. They were all amazed, and they praised God, exclaiming, we've never seen anything like this before. I want to say that Jesus was teaching. He was teaching that he is the one. He's the one who can heal. He is the one who was sent, but he demonstrated it through a miracle. But I really want to get to the friends who brought the paralyzed man. Jesus saw their faith. He saw their faith, and he told this man his sins were forgiven. As the title speaks for itself, we're called. We're called to heal. And then a lot of us will say, I know I will say it myself, I can't heal anybody. I don't have the ability to heal anybody. And I certainly don't have the ability to forgive people of their sin. But I know a man who does. I know a man who does. Those four friends of his, they knew a man who could, because they had heard about Jesus. I guess my guess is that they saw the miracles that he performed before he came home and was preaching at that house, wherever that was. And they knew that Jesus could heal. They knew it. Their faith, they had the faith, so much faith that they picked up their friend and brought him to Jesus and dropped him right at Jesus' feet, because they knew a man named Jesus. And brothers and sisters, I'm telling you today that I know a man named Jesus who can heal, because I saw him heal. I saw him heal a paralyzed man, and that man was me. I was paralyzed. I wasn't physically paralyzed. I could get up off my bed and do whatever I wanted to do and go everywhere, anywhere I wanted to go, say what I wanted to say. But spiritually, I was paralyzed. I knew I needed Jesus Christ in my life, but I was paralyzed because I just couldn't get myself up off my mat and go put myself in front of Jesus and ask for forgiveness. Save me. And ask him to heal me. But he did. He healed me. And that, therefore, I'm a witness. And so, therefore, now I am obligated. I'm called to do the same thing. I can't do what those four friends did for their friend. I can't pick somebody up who's physically paralyzed and drop them in front of Jesus at Jesus' feet. But what I can do is what God gave me, what Jesus has given us all the authority to do. Every believer has the authority to pray. We have the authority to pray for healing, whether it's physical, whether it's spiritual, whether it's emotional, whether it's intellectual, paralysis. You know, we all there's a lot of people who are walking around paralyzed in some kind of way. And to be spiritually paralyzed, to me, in my opinion, that's just the worst, because it affects everything else. Your spiritual health affects everything you do, everything about your life. I remember when I was a young, I think I told several, maybe some people, I've told this about a couple who lived on my street when I was a very young man. I used to run around with their son, and we used to hang out. But they were the perfect example to me of a living sacrifice, people making themselves a living sacrifice to the Word of God. They just did everything. Everything with them was about God, was about Jesus. Their lives, their work, everything that they did was about, they involved Jesus in it. You couldn't talk to them without hearing about Jesus. And as I grew older, I got into a lot of things that I knew that wasn't part of me. I knew God didn't want me to be that way. But as we grew older, you know, we went, my friend, I don't want to mention his name right now, but my friend, he went his way and I went my way, and we became adults and got back together, and as we started talking, and he told me one day, he said, I, he I used to be jealous of you because my mom and my dad would get on their knees every evening. And I mean, they never missed one. And they would pray for you right in front of Jesus. They put me there with their prayers. They put me there, and I was healed. That's how I know. I know I was healed because of their prayers. But there was nothing I could do because I was paralyzed. I could not. I was spiritually paralyzed. I could not get myself before God. I couldn't bring myself to God. And that I want to kind of tie that to Pastor Tillman and Sister Tillman, First Lady Tillman. I'll tie that to their lesson maybe a couple of weeks ago about being called to something, called to significance. The title of their message was Called to Significance, but I saw it as called to your purpose, whatever that is, your purpose. Get up off of your mattress and do what you're called to do. God has called us, Jesus has called us to heal. And again, like I said, you know, I haven't got that ability. Maybe some do, but I don't have the ability to put my hands on somebody and they're miraculously healed. Or I can't tell anybody, you know, you are forgiven of all your sins because, you know, I said so. I can't. But I can pray. God has given me the privilege and the authority to pray for the sick, no matter what it is, whether it's physical or whatever condition it is. I look at people. I see people on my job. I listen to them talk, and I listen to them, and I know that in some way everybody has some form of – everybody who hasn't received the gift of salvation yet. I know that some way, in some form, that they're paralyzed, like the man on his mattress. He couldn't get himself up. He couldn't get up himself and go. Whatever the reason it is that some people can't get themselves up to go and give their life to God, give their life to a relationship with God through Jesus Christ, they need prayer. They need prayer. That's what it took for me. I didn't realize until after I got older, but I realized that that's what it took. It took prayer. It took somebody who prayed for me. I can't think of any other reason why I came to Christ on my own, because I would not have. But as I said, I was paralyzed. I was spiritually paralyzed. So the call, your call, as Christians and as believers, your call is to heal. Your call to pray for those who are sick. Pray for those who are in trouble. Pray, just pray. Pick somebody and pray for them. Pick somebody. In fact, you know somebody. Pick somebody and pray for them. But we all got lives, and so we come in contact with all kinds of people every day. And just imagine yourself as those four friends. You didn't pick them. You can't grab people and drag them to the church and throw them in front of the altar. But pray for them, because you know somebody who can heal them. You know somebody who healed you. You are a witness too. You can. In effect, you're not healing them. God heals. God heals. God gives forgiveness. But you can get them to somewhere where that can happen for them, just like it happened for me. I couldn't have gone there myself because I didn't know. I didn't have that training, you know, raised up in my family. I didn't have that training that would get me, you know, to that place. And I was just in the world. I didn't have any other way. I didn't have any way of knowledge of knowing it. So, therefore, I'm trapped or I can use the word paralyzed in my circumstance, and I couldn't have anyway on my own gotten there. So pray. That is the best thing. Well, God has given us so many good things, but that is such a good thing to be able to communicate with God and have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And prayer, prayer is so significant. Prayer means, prayer is everything. I go back to the Old Testament and go back in Genesis where, you know, God created everything and he provided everything for us, man, and mankind, and placed mankind in all everything in the middle of everything that he created for him. And then when the evil one came and turned everything upside down, before the evil one came and turned everything upside down, God would come. He would come in the cool of the day or the cool of the evening, and he would walk with Adam, teaching him, telling him, and Adam would talk to him, and they would communicate. But after the upheaval, after the evil one came in, then he couldn't be with us who were, we were in sin. We were sin nature. So he made a way for us to come to him in the cool of the morning or the cool of the evening, and we can talk to him, and that's prayer. And we can ask him, because he can do anything. We can ask him to heal. I can ask him to heal me. I can ask him to heal you. You can ask him to heal me. We can pray for each other. Brother Brown, I don't know if I've run over my time or not, but I think I should wrap it up right there. How much I got left?
Let the Lord use you. Let the Lord use you. You got time. Let the Lord use you. If you got more for you to say, then go ahead and say what the Lord put on your heart to say. That's what it's all about.
Okay.
It's not about us. It's about God having this way through you.
We have this precious thing. It's something that we all can use. As believers, we all can use. A tool that God's given us that we can pray for each other. We can pray for ourselves. We can pray for one another. And we can pray for those who are, again, paralyzed. Maybe I shouldn't look at it that way, but I see anybody who hasn't received salvation as people who are paralyzed. They just can't get there. Just talking to a friend, you know, and what he said, it made me reflect back on where I was. He said, I can't buy this Jesus thing. It just don't work for me. But it don't work for me. It don't work for me because he doesn't really believe. He wants to, but he doesn't. And I was in
Deacon Blakely, I want to interject real quick. I want to use a different term other than paralyzed. That is a good term, a good word, but I think the right word for this would be spiritually blind.
Well, that's a good term, yeah. But I was going on because I wanted to use the man who could not get up off his mattress. He could not get up off his bed because he was paralyzed, but he was actually physically paralyzed. But if you go spiritually, people can be spiritually paralyzed. You are blind when you're spiritually paralyzed. You can't go because you don't, there is no, you have no ability. Getting back to what I was going to do is that I was there at one time. So I pray for him. I pray for my friend. I pray for him, and I don't even tell him that I'm praying for him, but I see him coming. He's coming, and he's giving, he's like he wants to talk to me. He wants to be. He wants to know more, and he wants to be more. I'll just tell him, you know, I want to send him to church, but now all these churches are out, you know, and that. But the prayer, we don't have the ability. Some say they do. I don't know. I don't have the ability to place my hands on anybody and heal anybody. And I don't have the ability to say you're forgiven. But I do know a man who does. And if I can just get them spiritually before that man who I know who does, whose name is Jesus, he will create a miracle that everybody can see, and everybody can see him or see who that one that you're praying for. They can see him and know that you picked up your mattress and that you're walking, and that, you know, they didn't say what happened to the man when he picked up his mattress, and they never said anything about his faith. But they did say something about the man, the men who brought him there, their faith, and our prayer. If we faithfully pray, if we pray in faith, if we pray in belief that I know a man, I know somebody who can heal, and if I pray believing, then God will answer. I believe he will answer. I believe that he will forgive sin and he will heal. That's our call to prayer. So that's what I wanted to get out. You know, that we don't have to, it doesn't necessarily have to be a physical paralysis. There are many ways for people to be paralyzed, and they need prayer. They need healing. And the only way you can heal them is to pray for them. Pray, intercede on their behalf. Intercede with the one who you know. You know. If they don't know, you know. The one you know who can heal and who can forgive. My time is not up yet.
No, sir, but I'm going to include something in your message on tonight, because everything that you said is true, because I am a living witness. And sometimes we don't always have to tell people that we are praying for them. If we know someone in our families or our neighbor or somebody on the job, and we know their condition, we know that they're spiritually blind, and we know that they are spiritually paralyzed, then that's, like you said, and it's true. That's why the word of God says the fervent prayers of the righteous availeth much. So God hears our prayers, and he sees our faith, and he saw the faith of these young men that brought their friend, and to the point that they tore up the roof and lowered him down in front of Jesus, like the word of God said, as you read it, and I was reading along with you, said Jesus saw their faith, and God never changed. Jesus can't change, so that still goes for us today. For those of us that are praying for others, Jesus is seeing our faith as we pray on behalf of someone else that may be spiritually blind and don't even know they need Jesus.
Amen. That was my point. And another part to that point was that we can't, as believers, that's for the non-believer, we pray for them. But as believers, we can never, ever let anybody tell us that we are not righteous, and God doesn't see us as righteous. Because, as you just said, the fervent prayer of a righteous, you have a lot of people who believe but don't believe that they're righteous. So they think their prayer doesn't count, so they don't answer the call to go heal. They think maybe my prayer won't count because I'm really not righteous. But if you have faith, and you pray faithfully, your prayers are just as righteous as any other believer.
That's right.
Because we're joining
with Jesus Christ.
Right. And if he saw and heard those four men, if he saw their faith and he acted, if he sees my faith, he will act.
Yes, he will.
Even
That's
though
right.
that was
because
not.
Because like I said, faith is an action word, and God sees our, and he's looking for that. That's what God is looking for. He's looking for our faith. And when he sees our faith, then when we pray and we pray right and we pray sincerely and honestly from our hearts, then God is going to move on our behalf. He's going to answer that prayer.
Amen. 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 That is the point that I would get, even though Jesus was teaching a lesson. He was teaching a lesson that he is divine, that he has all authority on earth. He has the authority on earth to heal. And he has the authority on earth to, how did he, let me get that so I won't say it wrong. And Jesus knew immediately what they were thinking. So he asked them, why do you question this in your heart? Is it easier to say to the paralyzed man, your sins are forgiven, or stand up and pick up your bed and walk? And then Jesus said, so I will prove to you that the Son of Man has the authority on earth to forgive sins. Then Jesus turned to the paralyzed man and said, stand up, pick up your bed, and go home. He has the authority. And if I have faith in Jesus, if I have the faith that those four men have had in Jesus' ability to heal and to forgive, then there's no different for me and them. Jesus, when he sees my faith, he acts same as when he saw their faith.
Amen. Amen. Absolutely. That's right. That's right. And then go ahead, D.
And it's his authority. That's why earlier when I first read that verse, I wanted everybody to keep in mind it's his authority. He has all authority. He has the authority to heal and the authority to forgive. In the earth.
And like you said, and that's why he gives us that same authority to pray. When we pray, we don't have the authority. We don't have the authority that Jesus gives to the saints, that when we pray,
amen,
that God's going to hear and answer our prayer, because we have that same authority because we are joint heirs with Jesus Christ. And he said greater works that we will be able to do. When he knew that he was going to be leaving and going back to God the Father, and he was going to be sitting at the right hand of God in heaven, he knew he was not no longer going to be here physically on the earth. Doing what he was doing in the physical, that's why he said greater works that we should be able to do. And that's why it's important that the saints of God, that's why it's important that we have a continual prayer life. That's why it's always important for us to stay in the Word of God, that we continue to stay connected with one another, we continue to pray for one another, so we can continue to encourage one another, and we can continue to strengthen each other, in so that we can build up our prayer lives individually and then as a corporate body.
Yes, and your prayers are powerful, and they don't have no expiration. When you pray,
amen,
for someone, for the healing for someone, that if I don't see that healed today, I know that he has the authority to heal them 10 years from now with that same prayer, or 20 years from now. But if I live constantly,
mm-hmm,
and stay in prayer, daily, I'm in prayer. I pray for everybody I come in contact with. I pray for everybody I know. Sometimes everybody's not on the list every day, but I pray for everybody that I know, everybody I come in contact with, because I know a man who heals. I know a man. Because sometimes we don't tell people what we're going through. Sometimes people
That's
don't
right.
tell you what they're going through. So it's still that thing of them not being able to pick themselves up off of that and take it to God or take it before Jesus. And so we can take it therefore if we
that's right.
really have faith. If we really know a man like those four guys knew what Jesus could do. That was their faith. They knew what he could do. They knew their friend that was paralyzed, but they couldn't do anything about it till they knew what Jesus could do. They didn't just hear about it and say, well, let's try this. No, they were confident. That's why they picked him up and took him there and dug that hole through the roof, because they knew what Jesus could do. And that's the same thing as you just said, because we have the authority to pray in Jesus' name, in Jesus' authority.
Amen.
We can pray in
Jesus' authority.
That's
what the power
authority.
Is. That's it.
That's his authority.
That's right.
And when we pray in his authority, he can do things.
Amen. And it goes back to I think about my mother when I was a little boy, and I would be hearing my mother pray. Sometimes she would think we would be sleeping in the bed at night, and she would be to put us to bed, and she'd think we'd go all asleep. But sometimes I would hear her walking through the house praying for her children. And I know that her prayers are still being answered, even though she is in glory now. She's resting in Jesus right now. And my cousin, Pastor Norman King, from North Carolina, he's on the line right now. And she's my auntie, and my mother was his aunt. And I would hear his mother pray, and his mother would be praying for them as well. And so the prayers,
even
mothers, when they're praying for their children, even if the children are little babies, their prayers, because they're so tied into God, they're so connected to God, that they are so faithful, and their faith is so rooted and grounded in God's word, they know what the power of prayer can do, what God has done for them. And he know that the same God, because he don't change, and he has no respect of a person, when they put their children before God, even as little babies, that God is going to hear and answer their prayer. So that's why I believe, Dick, that you are in the position where you are now, because somebody, I love the song, Jesus prayed for me.
Somebody
he had me on his mind.
For me.
He took the time and prayed for me. Our pastors, they are praying for us. Our loved ones that are truly saved in Jesus' name, the mothers of the church, they are praying for us, and they're lifting us up before Jesus Christ. And so that's why we should not have no respect to our person either. So we can't go around judging people. All we can do is lift them up before God, because when we don't know, we might not know their circumstance, but God knows. So just call. Sometimes
God knows.
We have to be specific in our prayers. That's right. And sometimes we need to be specific in our prayers. And sometimes when we don't know how to be specific, God knows, because he's searching our hearts, and he's answering our prayers through our faith.
He's answering our hearts. And if we are in the right place, what's that?
Our heart's desires.
Oh, yeah. He's answering our hearts. And when we pray fervently, he hears our prayers and he acts. We can't control how God will act or what he will do, but we know that he hears our prayers. And that
That's
we
right.
know that he will act. Sometimes
yes,
it may take tomorrow, and sometimes it may take next year or the year after, but he heard my prayer, and he answered my prayer. He heard friend's mother and father pray for me, and he
That's
heard
right.
them years and years and years and years ago. But I came to him way later, but it was because of I'm convinced totally that it's because of their prayers and because who they were in Christ. They were that living sacrifice. They made their lives that way, and they prayed and they prayed and they prayed.
That's right. And
so
it's all about God's timing.
It's always in God's timing, but still God wants to hear. He wants to hear.
That's right.
He wants to see
right.
our faith. He wants to see
That's
those
right.
men climb on top of the house with their friends and dig a hole and not. He saw their faith because they knew. They knew. Somehow they knew. I think they were traveling around and they saw the miracles that Jesus did everywhere, and they witnessed it, and they knew. And I'm the miracle that I can witness. I'm witnessing because I saw Jesus, what he did to me and for me. I saw it, and
Amen.
I learned of it, and I learned that it was because somebody prayed for me.
Yes, and that goes
and
back
God
to that reminds me of the scripture
gift.
That's right. We can do the same thing, and that goes back to the scripture that says, you know, I don't know what the scripture is, but it talks about, you know, one plants, That's what we have to do. We got to plant the seed. We plant the seed. Yeah. Somebody else is going to come back and they're going to water it. They're going to water it. But God is the one that gives the increase. And he's going to get the increase so that he's going to get the glory from it. That's what it's all about, that him being glorified, God being glorified, even through our prayers. When we pray for others and we lift them up before Jesus Christ, it's all about, it all is like a circle. It all goes back to God, and it's all about God getting the glory through our, even through our prayers.
He came and visited them in the garden daily. He came and visited and talked with them. But because God won't mix with, you know, sin, he couldn't leave us and desert us, so he made us a way for us to come to him daily.
Through Jesus Christ.
And
that's right.
Speak
through
to
Jesus.
Him.
Yes.
Talk with him and let him talk with us and show him our faith, and he'll show us his faithfulness. He's always faithful.
That's good. I like that. I'm a witness. I'm a witness. And I know we got some witnesses on the line. Whether the season thinks of you a new baby in Christ. Hey, we are all witnesses that God sees our faith, and he's a faithful God. He's going to answer our prayers. He's a promise keeper.
I pray there's some people on the line right now getting that, because we made a lot of different points today. And I want everybody to get all of those points. But one is, believers, don't ever feel that your prayer is not valuable. Your prayer is ineffective. Your prayer is as effective as your faith is. Your prayer is truly effective. God wants your prayer. He wants to talk to you, and he wants during that time for him to be able to talk to you. That's how important prayer is.
That's a two-way communication. That's two-way communication. He wants us to pray to him, and then we got to sometimes pray to him, but then sometimes we have to be quiet after we pray so he can communicate back with us. It's a two-way street.
Yeah, yes, Lord. I was telling a friend of mine not too long ago, I might have posted it on Facebook, that God has carved out some time. I used to think I could make time for God, but God has already carved out that time for him to spend with me, and I should be more respectful of his appointments when he carved out the time. I shouldn't be making time for him. He's already made time for me to talk to him, and I talk to him. And so when
do we take advantage of it? Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I feel like when I pray, because I'm talking to him daily, and talking to him in the times that he set. When I get up in the morning, when I raise up in the morning, I'm talking to God. My voice is the first thing he's going to hear when I wake up.
Amen. That's how we all should be. That's right. Amen. And you know what, Dick? I really truly, and I know that I'm not the only one, I really miss us being able to be in the sanctuary. Like when we go over to Sunday school lessons, where we can all, you know, put in our input on the lessons. But thank God for social media. Because of social media, that we can still be able to do the same thing. God's word is still going forth, and people are still being saved through God's word, even through social media. So thank God for that, that we can still give God glory, honor, and praise even through social media.
Yeah, you're right. I do miss physically being there, but nothing's changed. God's hand never changes. It's all, he's always made a way. He has always made a way, and he will always make a way.
That's right. That's right. And that's why he said greater works that we would be able to do, because I believe in my heart and in my spirit that Jesus knew that somewhere down the line that social media was going to be available, and that like when Jesus was in the flesh, he can only be in one place at one time in the flesh. But thank God for social media, we can reach millions of people all over the world because of social media. So God's word is definitely going out, and it's going forth.
Everywhere.
People are being saved everywhere, all over the world. People are being saved because they are hearing God's word. Some people are hearing God's word for the first time. Go ahead, D.
In just a matter of a flash, some you can say one word, and it'll place somebody else right in front of Jesus. It'll bring
That's
them right to the foot of Jesus and give them the time to release themselves and ask the Lord to forgive them and ask the Lord to save them, ask the Lord to heal them. We don't even know when we've done it. We don't even know when, like you said, like it's like a flash of lightning. Because of social media, because of all the technology today.
That's right.
A word
Amen.
Can go across
That's right.
the world and a word can really fly.
That's right. You
so
see,
I,
God's
I
word has
I,
power.
Yeah.
That's right. God's word has power, and that's why I thank God for this media, social media. I thank God for men and women of God that have come forth over this worldwide platform, sharing the good news of Jesus Christ, so that everybody can have an opportunity to hear God's word. So nobody would have an excuse to say that they did not know. And I never knew about Jesus. Nobody never told me about Jesus. I didn't know what faith was. I never heard about faith. Well, if you're on this line, if you never heard about faith today, you're hearing about it today.
You heard it today. You heard it today. And I used to, you know, like you know, like regular TV, like your channels you get. I used to always wonder why come there's not more, you know, church on TV. Why, you know, why? I'm talking about this on your regular. Channels for the
right
because those are commercial channels and they don't do that, they're not interested in that. And the word doesn't go
right
but here on this kind of media, the word can go out unhindered, it can just go,
amen.
Anytime,
right.
day
That's
or
right.
night, any time of the week, it can go. It's not on man's schedule, it's however you feel like you want to get that time out there to speak and speak the word of God. And
That's
God
right.
has gifted us. He's really gifted us. And I keep coming back to that prayer because that prayer is so important. It's such an important part of sharing God's word. Letting people know that they have access through God, to God, through Jesus Christ. They have access. Jesus said, I'm the door. And nobody goes to the Father but by me. And if you,
That's
and
right.
he said right here in this lesson, I have the authority in the earth. You people in the earth, come to me and talk to your Father.
Mm-hmm.
Pray
because He wants to hear from you. That's right.
He wants to hear from us. He wants to come down in cool of the evening, the middle of the day, and talk with us. He really does.
Yes. Yes, Lord.
And He established that way a long time ago. But He had to, you know, to He didn't change anything. He just inverted it. Instead of Him coming to us, we come to Him. We come to Him.
Thank you,
prayer.
Jesus. Yes, Lord.
I thank
you
for that gift. I never knew how precious the gift of prayer was.
Oh, yes, it is. It's precious.
I know now.
Yes. Yes, Lord. Yes, yes. I'm a witness. I know truth. I know for myself. So that's what it's all about, having a prayer life for your own self. And thank God for this message titled on tonight because, you know, because the world is in a bad situation right now, and that's why the fervent prayers of the righteous need to be praying that God will heal the land. That's why we need to
heal
be praying all the saints. Heal the land. He said in His word that if my people, which are called by my name, but humble themselves and pray, seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and I will heal the land. So we need to be healed. Yes.
Did you hear that? And only we can do it by coming to Him. Coming to Him.
In faith.
That's the only way
That's
this
right.
man is going to be healed. I heard a brother
right.
today on the news talking about what we're going to do about this racism. What we're going to do, because when we get a new president, we're still going to have all these races, these white, you know, what do you call them, supremacists out here. What another brother said, pray. That's the only way you're going to change their mind.
Mm-hmm.
Because they
That's
think
right.
they're superior and they're supreme, and they're not going to come to the conclusion that they need to repent. They're not going to come to that conclusion unless we keep praying. And God said, if we keep praying, He'll heal our land.
That's right.
Land.
We got to. That's it. That's it.
Not if
we
change them.
We gotta,
not if we change them, He'll heal the land. He said, if we pray, He'll heal the land.
That's right. But you know what? That's a part that a lot of the saints don't want to do. They don't want to humble themselves. The Lord said, you got to humble yourself. then before you come to God, you got to humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. And that's what we got to do as Christians. We got to humble ourselves. We can't come just go to God any kind of way.
Realizing that I can't do this. That's humility.
That's right.
I can't do this. God, I have to bring this to Jesus. I have to I can't do this. I can't heal people. I can't give forgiveness to people. I can't heal our land. So I have to bring it to God. Because he can. I know somebody who can do it. And he told us how he can do it. If we humble ourselves, pray.
Yes, seek his face. Turn from our wicked ways.
Our wicked ways. All the instructions are right there.
That's right.
But it's got to do with praying. It's got to do with praying. It's got to do with turning to him.
That's right.
Because
you got to do it God's way, not our way. You got to do it God's way.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, Deacon Blakely, I tell you, our time is just about up, but I do want to say this to you before we go off the air. I want to thank you for taking the time out to come forth and sharing this word to me and to the listeners. And I pray that someone was blessed by this word on tonight, because God already knew who was going to be listening, and he knew what we all stand in need of. He said his word is not going to go out void. His word is not going to go out void. It's going to accomplish everything that he set out for it to do. So we know that someone has been blessed and blessed by this word, and people are being even healed even after hearing this word on tonight. So I thank you for, me too. So I thank you for sharing this word, and I want the listeners to know from now on, you can expect to hear from Deacon Edward Blakely, the Sunday School Superintendent of the Morning Star Baptist Church, where Pastor Isaiah Tillman Jr. is the pastor. Deacon Blakely will be bringing forth God's Word every third Saturday night, same place, same time. So you want to continue to mark it on your calendar so you can tune in every third Saturday night and hear another word from the Lord through Deacon Edward Blakely. And don't forget that every first Thursday night, Minister Tawan Eppinger, young man of God, a member of the Morning Star Baptist Church. Again, he always bring a powerful word on the first Thursday night over this worldwide platform. And while I'm talking about Minister Tawan Eppinger, if you have a pen and paper, please mark this down. Minister Eppinger comes forth every night at 9 o'clock p.m., 9 p.m. every night, 7 days a week, with a prayer line. If you have a pen and paper, you might want to write this number down. You can dial into the prayer line and be blessed through prayer. His prayer line number is 1-602. It's the area code. 602 is the area code. 610-2081. Once again, the number for Minister Eppinger's prayer line is 1-602, area code, 610-2081. And its access code is 913-927. Once again, his access code is 913-927. So you want to tune in if you can each night at 9 o'clock p.m. Minister Eppinger is on the prayer line, and he has other people praying for the people of God and also for the people of the world, that God, he still hears and answers our prayers. So, Deacon Blakely, I want to thank you again for coming on tonight, and I look forward to hearing what God is going to say to you on the next third Saturday night in February, whatever God placed on your heart to deliver to his people. So as we give it and close out, we always close out in prayer. Know that I love you. Know that God loves you even more. So we're going to close out in prayer once again. Eternal God, our Heavenly Father.
Thank you, Brother Brown.
No problem, Dick. No problem at all. This is what the Lord is doing. So when we be obedient to God, then that's when he gets the glory. Eternal God, our Heavenly Father, it's in the name of Jesus. We come once again giving you glory, honor, and praise for who you are. We thank you for your word, Heavenly Father. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you are still watching over your word to perform it in the lives of your people, even on tonight. We pray, Lord, that your word has gone out over this worldwide platform and internet and ministry, that those that have tuned in on tonight was blessed by your word through your man of God, Deacon Edward Blakely. Continue to bless him. Continue to bless his family. Continue to bless the works of his hands. Heavenly Father, is our prayer in Jesus' name. Continue to have your way in all of our lives, that are faithful doers of your word and not just hearers only. We continue to thank you for your grace and your mercy. We thank you even for your sufficient grace toward us. We don't deserve it. We are not worthy of it, but we thank you for it in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for our risen Lord and Savior and soon coming King, Jesus Christ, your Son. We thank you for his precious blood. We know that the blood of Jesus still works and it will never lose its power. So we thank you for every listener that faithfully tunes in and every new listener that tuned in on tonight. Continue to bless them, Heavenly Father. Grant them the desires of their hearts with our prayer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Once again, know that I love you. Know that God loves you even more. Until the next time, continue to be blessed of the Lord. Good night.
Amen.